Welcome to the Bridge DFW podcast. The Bridge is a community of young adults and a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. You can find out more at thebridgedfw.com.
Well, we are starting a new series tonight called Remote Controlled. Everybody say remote controlled. And over the next few services, we're going to be diving into and looking at some different things that the enemy uses to control us. Some different ways that he enters into our life and some different things that he does and that he uses to control the way that we think, the way that we talk, the way that we act, the way that we live our lives. And so tonight we're going to jump into that because I believe that the enemy, he can't stop us, right? In case you've ever read the back of the book, or if you remember back in middle school or high school, whenever you had algebra, right, the odd-numbered questions, the answers were in the back of the book, right? And so you knew I at least get some of those right, right? Well, in the Bible, we can look at the back of the book and know that we win, right? Believers win. We overcome, right? We're more than just overcomers, the Bible says. And so, you know, I want to be diving into this over the next few services, but the enemy uses things in our life, things that we've done, things that have been done to us, things that we've allowed, mindsets that we've taken, and he uses it like a remote control. And some things he'll use to hit the mute button and have it to where we're muted. And maybe we're walking around living our life, but we don't have much of a voice. We're not very loud. Our voice does not resonate very loud in the world because we've been muted. And maybe some other things, maybe the enemy uses to, you know, just completely power us down. And just hit the power button in our life. And he can actually stop the flow of power to move in our life. To believe that, you know, this whole Holy Spirit thing, that's weird. This whole Jesus thing, that's weird. I mean, I'll go to service, but, you know, to lay hands on people or to pray for people or, you know, to really, like, enjoy life as a Christian, I don't really know if that's what God wants, you know. We're just supposed to come and, you know, sing songs, and I don't know about the whole raising my hands thing. That's kind of weird, you know. I don't know about all that. And what does he do? He hits the power button. I hope this doesn't power anything down. I should have taken the batteries out. But other things, I believe he wants to hit the pause button. God's working in our life. God is giving answers and working things out and changing and rearranging our lives and the way that we think and the direction of our life and the destiny, the calling on our life. And we're starting to head down that path and we're making progress and all of a sudden something happens and pause. The enemy stops us and has us freeze right in our tracks. And so that's what we're going to be looking at in the few services coming up. And I've been excited to kick off the service tonight. And I just want to ask this before we go any further. Whether you're a longtime Bridge member here, whether you're part of the church, whether you've been around Kenneth Copeland Ministries your whole life, whether you've been serving here, maybe you're even on staff here. Maybe you're watching and you've been watching since the Bridge first started. Or maybe it's just your first time. I just want to ask this of you tonight. Pastor Donnie is asking for a favor from you. I want you to dive in tonight. I want you to really have an open heart, have an open mind, have an open ear to hear what it is that I believe God wants you to hear. Because in case you do not know, pastors don't just wake up in the morning that they're to preach and, you know, decide what they're going to preach on. And the Lord has been talking to me about you guys and talking to me about you guys online and listening on podcast about tonight for weeks. So I'm excited to get into it tonight. But first, I want to tell you a story. I believe it was about 1996, I believe, 1995. And I was in fifth grade at that time. In case those of you that are math whizzes, you can tell how old I am now. But I was in fifth grade, and there was this girl that I really liked, right? She was beautiful. Like, she was funny. I think she was taller than me. Because, you know, at that age, like, you know, the girls grow a little bit faster than the guys. So I don't really know what I was thinking. But, you know, I had this idea because I found out she was in choir, right? I found out she could sing. She was part of the choir or whatever, you know. And so I was like, you know what? I want to impress her. And since she's a singer, I'll impress her by singing. Except fifth grade Donnie had no idea how to sing. He had no idea how to play any kind of musical instrument. And so what did I do? I was listening to the radio one day and I got this bright idea. This was back whenever you had cassette tapes and you could actually record what was on the radio. And so from my recollection, I remember that somebody, they were doing like this contest on this country station. Yes, I have been delivered from country. I'm just kidding, for those of you who like country. There's some okay country music. But I just remember sitting there listening to the radio, and they had this call-in contest where people would call in, play a song that they wrote, sing it, and, you know, they would, like, whoever the winner was would get tickets or something, right? You've seen these kind of things. And so I was like, I got it. I'll record this person that's called in and sang the song that they wrote, playing the song that they wrote, and I'll send it to this girl and tell her it's me. Tell her I wrote the song about her, right? Because if it's a song that somebody called in that they wrote, it wouldn't be like a well-known track. She wouldn't have heard it, so she wouldn't, you know, get suspicious, right? Well, long story short, I didn't hear back from her. I didn't, you know, get any kind of response, and, you know, we never obviously got married. I mean, I'm married to Pastor Dara. But what I learned was this. There's times in your life where the drive for something and the idea that you have in your head can actually cause you to do things that you wouldn't normally do. And it can actually become controlling in your life to where everything you think about, even the things that you do, you'll do things that are outside of your character, things that are outside of who you were raised to be. I was not raised to be a singer in fifth grade. I was raised to, you know, play sports and all these different kind of things. And so that was outside my wheelhouse. But you see, I was so controlled by the thought of having this girl like me. I was so controlled by the thought of her and wanting her to, you know, look at me in a positive context that I made something up and I tried to paint myself in a certain light to have her view me a different way. And so tonight we're going to be talking a little bit along the same lines tonight. So I want you to do this. Turn with me quickly to Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. It says, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body, that's Jesus, like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But here's the good news in verse 9. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. Everybody say, I am not controlled by my sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. So if you're taking notes tonight, the message tonight is going to be authentically inauthentic. Authentically inauthentic. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your word tonight, God. God is the only place, Father, in life, in this world, God, that we can go to and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God, that whenever we read your word, whenever we study your word, God, that we can hear you speak. God, that we will know your voice. Father, I thank you that in this place tonight, God, that every heart is open. God, every ear is open, Father. And I thank you, God, that as you sow seeds from heaven, God, through my lips, God, to all of our hearts, God, that those seeds are falling into good ground, God, and there's going to be a good harvest. Father, I just thank you tonight, God, that you reveal yourself to us, God. Help us to learn, God, how to not be controlled by the enemy, Father, but rather be controlled by your Spirit. So, Father, we thank you for all of this in your name, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. So, authentically inauthentic. Authentically inauthentic. Who's ever taken a selfie? I know y'all are lying. For those of you that didn't raise your hand, y'all are going to get struck by lightning in church. I'm just kidding. God doesn't do that. But seriously, who's all taking a selfie in here? Pretty much everybody that either has a cell phone or, you know, is on social media. So matter of fact, I'm going to do a selfie right now. Y'all cool with that? Everybody smile. I'm going to get up here so we can get a better one. How's that? All right, y'all ready? One, two, three. Y'all like how I did duck face? Guys can do duck face too. I'm just saying it's not weird for guys to do duck face too. But did you know this? That every single day, 100 million selfies are taken. 100 million selfies. Researchers say that 1 in 3 of every photo taken on a cellular mobile device, 1 in 3 is actually a selfie. Every third photo taken on a mobile device is a selfie. It's pretty amazing. The numbers are staggering whenever you look at that compounding day after day after day. And selfies are a relatively new phenomenon, right? Within the last few years is the first time that, you know, we saw selfie sticks and we saw phone cases that have, you know, lights on the front to take better selfies, all these kind of things. You know, selfies are a relatively new phenomenon. Or are they? You know, I was doing a little bit of research on this today and actually found out that the very first selfie on record, the very first photographic selfie was taken, I believe, in 1839 by an Italian amateur photographer. Some of you may know Van Gogh and Rembrandt and all these different artists, but a lot of them actually did self-portraits. Van Gogh actually did several different self-portraits of himself, including after he cut his ear off, which that's a whole another weird story. But I want to show you a picture of some of the first selfies. And this first one is from 1920. Check that out. The first selfie. How funny is that? Even in 1920, people would rather turn the camera on themselves. Here's another one from the early 1900s. Check out this lady. She almost looks like the Wicked Witch of the West, right? You know how she's like riding that bike at the beginning of the movie? Da-da-da-da-da-da. Looks like her. Anyways. Here's another couple that I like. Here's one of Winston Churchill taking a selfie. Everybody remember Winston Churchill? FYI, that is not real. You can see the real picture down at the right bottom. It's been altered. But, you know, that's what Winston Churchill would look like in the midst of, you know, being a diplomat and trying to calm World War II. And check out this next one. Somebody maybe you realize doing a selfie. Jackie O with the late President JFK. Again, she did not take a selfie, but I thought it would be fun for us to look at. You can put that down. But so watch this. Even though we may not have to hold this big giant box in front of us that takes, you know, like hours to develop the photo, or even because we may not be painting selfies nowadays, we've moved over into a place of what a lot of people call the digital age, right? You don't just have analog music, analog stereo, right? You have digital stereo. You don't just have analog phones, right? Where you have to go nine, five, right? That's analog. We have digital phones, right? We have digital cell phones, right? We have digital calculators, digital watches, all kinds of digital things. We live in the digital world. We live in the digital age. And in the same way, a lot of times, right whenever you hear that word digital age, you hear the word the connected age, right? Everything now is connected. Smart connected watches and connected homes. And, you know, at our house, we have a connected security system that whenever somebody walks by our front door, it dings and, you know, pops up on my cell phone and tells me, you have a visitor. Or, you know, somebody rings the doorbell and it tells me, somebody's rang your doorbell, right? I can turn my lights on and off from my cell phone. I have connected lights, right? I have a connected thermostat in my house. Right, which has made me very lazy in the middle of the night whenever it's hot. Instead of having to go get up and crank down the AC, I just open one eye and turn down the AC. It's a connected thermostat. We live in the age of connectedness. So number one in your notes tonight, I want to ask a question. In the age of connectedness, are we truly connected? I'm going to let you ponder on that for a second. In the age of connectedness, are we truly connecting? Truly connecting with others, truly connecting with God, truly connecting with ourselves, our true selves, like who we really, really, really are, not who we are out in public, right? Not who we are at work, not who we are around certain friends or who we are at church or, you know, maybe who we are whenever we're at the movies or at the mall, but like really, like connecting with who we really are on the inside, connecting with who we truly are. Not who we want people to see. People are starting to fear and avoid unfiltered interactions. Have you noticed this? People are starting to fear and avoid unfiltered interactions. You see, we've been more and more accustomed to putting on a face and putting out there the me that we want people to see, right? Taking a selfie and, you know, you have this thing called a filter, right? Where you can put certain colors on you to make you look more tan and, you know, make you look better, make it look like, you know, you're out in the sun even though, you know, you're sitting in the shade. And you have filters that you can put on to make yourself look in whatever way that you want people to view you, the way that you want people to see you. You know, there's this thing that's Photoshop, right? Everybody's heard of Photoshop. Well, there's an app for your cell phone that you can actually use to change your skin tone, right? If you have a pimple, instead of, you know, like putting a bunch of makeup on it, you can just click your cell phone screen a couple times and poof, the zit's gone, right? That would have been great in like seventh grade whenever, right, everybody was having school picture day and you're like, oh man, I can't go to school picture day. I got a pimple, right? That was awful back then. But you see, so many of us enjoy the control that we have over how people view us digitally when we connect in the age of connectedness. We enjoy being able to, right, Photoshop our nose before we post that selfie on Instagram. We enjoy being able to make our tummy a little bit slimmer and, you know, have a thigh gap and, you know, have a little bit bigger, you know, like we've been doing squats, ladies. Come on, don't raise your hand. But we enjoy the ability to control how people view us, even if it's not the real us. So I ask the question again, in the age of connectedness, are we truly connecting? Or rather, are we connecting with the image that people are wanting to portray of themselves, while at the same time, they're connecting with the image that we want to portray of ourselves? Are we truly connecting? You know, back whenever I was young, you know, and somebody would call on the cell or call on the phone, there was no such thing as caller ID, right? Now somebody calls and what do? You look at the phone and, oh, it's that person. Ah, you know what? Click, go to voicemail, right? Then what do? You listen to the voicemail. And then if you decide that you know, really care enough, maybe you'll respond. But how do you respond? You text them back, right? You text back the answer to the phone call that they sent you and the voicemail that they left you. Why? Because you can control the conversation then. You don't have to get caught up in a long conversation and, you know, you don't really like that person that much anyways and, you know, they're long-winded and, you know, you don't really have time because you're doing a lot of important stuff and so you can't get caught up in a conversation with that person, so you just text them back, right? You control the conversation. You control the amount of time that you're going to spend. You control the interaction. In the same way, whenever I was younger, whenever the phone rang, baby, you had to pray it was somebody that you wanted to talk to. Not, right, or maybe rather pray that it wasn't somebody that you didn't want to talk to, right? Because you'd run into the kitchen, because that was the only place that there was a telephone in the house. You would pick up the phone, which felt like a brick, right? The little handle, which I'm like, what do they put in those things? Like, it's just wires and a speaker. And then, you know, maybe you would take the long, like, 30-foot cord and, like, come over here, like, around the kitchen to, like, talk on the phone so that nobody else could hear you, right? But you had no idea who was on the phone until what? Until you picked it up. There was no caller ID, right? You had no control over the interaction that you had. You had no control over who you were going to talk to. And I think in our lives, more and more, as technology grows and interactions change and the way that we connect change, we're coming to a place where we're allowed to and we're able to have more and more control over our interactions. We're coming to a place where we have more control over our communication and how people view us and how people see us and what they think we look like and what they think we sound like and what they think our lives look like, right? Most of us are controlled by the connected world. Most of us are controlled by social media, right? Don't raise your hands, but I would guess in a room this large and for sure online because you obviously know technology, I would assume that some of you, the first thing you look at in the morning is your Facebook. You roll over and before you've even, you know, wiped the sleep out of your eyes, you're checking Instagram to see how many likes you got on that photo, right? Some of you, it's even the last thing you do before you go to bed, right? Because before I go to bed, I want to know how many people like that picture of that food that I made today for dinner. I want to know about the comments that people said about, you know, how cute my puppy is while he's, you know, frolicking through the grass or whatever the case may be. And so what happens? We become controlled by these things. We're surrounded by connectedness, yet we're empty of true, authentic connection on the inside. I would imagine if we were to take a poll here and you were to say, how many true friends do you have that you feel like you connect with on a deep, deep level that no matter what was going on, no matter what happened, no matter what you did, that they would be there for you, that they would connect with you, that they would weep with you if you needed to weep or rejoice with you because you had something great happen in your life? I would venture to say that all of us would say, I would love to have that deep connection with somebody. I would love to have that deep interaction, authentic relationship with somebody. And you know, the truth of the matter is that we were all created for this. That's the good news. We were all created for it. Some of you have a longing to connect with people in a different way than what you are today. And it's because that's how God created us. He created us to have an unfiltered connection with people. And more importantly, an unfiltered connection with Him. You know, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Everybody know that. Well, King David was not the best guy in the world, right? He messed up. He got it wrong. He jacked up. He sinned. He had people murdered, right? He missed it, right? Just like every one of us has missed it. But you see, the thing about David that made him a man after God's own heart was not that he could always go to God with a good report card and say, God, look how awesome I've been. But rather because he understood that in order to have a successful, victorious life, he had to connect with God in his most authentic, real way. And I just want to encourage you tonight. You know, I believe our words have power. Absolutely. There is power whenever we make confessions. God, I thank you I'm healed. God, I thank you that I'm the head and not the tail. God, I thank you that, you know, I'm above only, not beneath. Father, I thank you that my finances are increasing. Father, I thank you that my family is being restored and, you know, my mom and my dad. And I understand that. I believe in that. We confess that, Pastor Darren and I, every single day. But you see, there's a difference between confessing what you believe is the truth based on the word, and there's a completely different thing between being oblivious to what's really going on. The Bible never says be oblivious to what's going on. The Bible never says come to God and, you know, don't even tell him about all the struggles you're going through. You know, David in the Psalms, in case you don't know, David wrote most of the Psalms, which is where we get a lot of our modern day worship songs from. Most of those songs came out of a place of deep despair and hurt and struggle and trial on behalf of David. You know, there's this one psalm that I particularly remember where Saul is out to get him. And the Bible says in the beginning part of the psalm, David is saying, like, God, where have you gone? Like, I can hear their swords and their shields. They're surrounding the house that I'm in. I have nowhere to go. Like, God, I'm dead. I'm as good as dead. But then he switches it and he says, but God, you've never failed me yet. God, you're not going to start now. So Father, God, even though it doesn't look good, I still trust you. God, I love you. I know that you love me. I know that you're with me even right now. And so David never went to God with a filter on. He never went to God with, you know, getting his nose photoshopped and, you know, making him a little bit slimmer in this area and, you know, taking off the zits that he had before he went to God. Why? Because he understood that for me to truly get everything that God has for me, I got to come to him with authenticity. And we were created in just the same way. Turn with me quickly to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians and chapter 3. 2 Corinthians is written by Paul, and Paul is referencing in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 the story of Moses. Most of you in here, I believe, would know Moses, even those of you that maybe aren't church people. Maybe you've seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, right? In 2 Corinthians 3 is Paul kind of going a little bit deeper and giving some backstory to the story of Moses going up to the mountain, right? Mount Sinai, right? Meeting with God, getting the Ten Commandments, and then coming down. And many of you know that, you know, Moses came down and he was glowing, right? The glory of God was on him and he was shining, right? Many of you also know that, you know, whenever Moses came down the mountain, that he had to put a veil over his face. Everybody remember this, right? He had to put a veil over his face because of the glory. But Paul gives us a little bit of insight, because from the time that I was little, and I believe from the time that most of you were little, that you've been taught that the reason that Moses put a veil over his face was to protect the people from the glory of God, to protect the people from the bright, shining glory that was all on his face that was shining out, right? He needed something to protect them from that, right? Most of you grew up this way. Most of you have believed this way. But the truth is that Moses wore the veil for a completely different reason. And if you don't read your Bible, this is why it's important to read your Bible, you can go through life with a misunderstanding of Scripture. And Paul gives us a little bit of insight here. 2 Corinthians 3 in verse 13. He says, "We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites," watch this, "from seeing the end of what was passing away." What does that mean? He wanted to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. It's very simple. Moses had come down the mountain, having spent time with God, right? He had the word of God. He had the Ten Commandments that he was giving to the people, right? They had seen that there was a big storm up on the mountain, and they could tell something was happening up there. So Moses comes down the mountain, and he's lit up. And all the people are, "Wow, look at Moses. He's amazing. Look at the glory that's on Moses. Man, he looks so awesome. Man, God must really love him. Man, he must have a great relationship with God." And so we have been always taught that he put the veil over his face to hide the glory so it didn't hurt people. The truth is, he put the veil over so people wouldn't see that the glory was waning. He put the veil on his face so that people would see him and think of him in that place where he had his best foot forward, where they wouldn't see that the glory was waning off of him, because what would that do? That would make Moses maybe look like he wasn't as great as they thought he was before. I submit to you tonight, is it possible that Moses had the first selfie and he put the first filter so that people would see him in the way that he wanted them to see him? Is it possible that maybe some of us do the very same thing in the way that we interact on social media, in the way that we interact with people in life, that we do certain things to hide what's really going on? We put a veil over ourselves in certain areas, right? We put our best foot forward. And let me say this, there's nothing wrong with putting your best foot forward, okay? We should put our best foot forward. But it's a different thing between putting your best foot forward and putting the foot of somebody who's not even you forward. Remember earlier, whenever I sent the tape of somebody else singing as if it was me. You see, it's one thing to put your best foot forward and present yourself in, you know, the best light. It's a completely different thing to hide and to try and become somebody who you're not, right? So let's keep going here, because we're going somewhere. He didn't want people to see him in a way that wasn't bright and shining. He didn't want people to see him in a way that wasn't his best self. You know, our flesh wants to cover up. You remember earlier whenever we read from Romans that the flesh is always at enmity with God, right? And our spirit is always wanting to come to God with our arms wide open and saying, "God, this is me. God, I know you love me even though right now this is where I'm at. But God, I thank you that even though I'm right where I am right now, I know that you're not going to leave me here." That's how God wants us to come to him, but our flesh doesn't want us to come to God like that. Our flesh doesn't even want us to come to each other like that, right? Remember Adam and Eve in the garden? What happened after the fall? The Bible says that what? They were naked and they were afraid and they were ashamed. And so what did they do? They hid. Not just from God. That's often how it's taught, that they hid from God. It was, come here, Pastor Darrell. It was almost like, you know, often it's portrayed like, you know, they were like, "Oh no, let's go hide from God." That wasn't it at all. They actually, man, she's beautiful. Wow. Thank you. They actually hid from each other and from God. Why? Because the flesh always wants to separate whenever you feel like somebody might see your inadequacies. Whenever somebody might see the real you, right? They hid from each other. And what does the Bible say? That they sewed together leaves as a covering. Are we beginning to see a similar thing as Moses? What did they do? They, instead of putting a veil on their face, they put some leaves to cover themselves and to cover their nakedness, the thing that they thought was ugly, the thing that they thought that, wow, now that we're naked and we realize it, you know, surely Eve isn't gonna like what she sees, so I'm gonna cover this up. I'm gonna hide from her. Surely God won't like what he sees, and so I'm gonna cover this up, right? Eve did the same thing. They put on their own veil to keep people from seeing who they really were. To keep people from seeing not their best. They put on their own filter. So number two in your notes tonight, it's going to be in the form of a question as well. What veil are you wearing? You remember earlier, I asked that every single one of us that we would have open hearts. And I know that this message is hitting some of you in different ways. Some of you are going, oh man, that's me. I've been doing that. You know, I've been living my life one way on social media, but it's completely different in real life, right? I have a different attitude and a different personality whenever I'm with these friends versus whenever I'm with these friends, right? I'm a completely different person whenever I'm at home, right, versus whenever I'm at work. I'm a completely different person whenever I'm out in the community versus whenever I'm in church, at the Bridge, at EMIC, right? Whenever I'm driving down the road, listening to my worship music, right? I'm a completely different person. So what veil are you wearing? You know, if you're active on social media, which I believe most of you are, let me just say this. There's nothing inherently wrong with social media. I know some of you might have heard me tonight. I might have thought like he's saying like Instagram's bad or Twitter's bad, Facebook is bad. Absolutely not. There's nothing inherently wrong with any of those things. It is a tool. And I believe that it's absolutely something that God wants to use to bring glory to his name. Amen? It's an absolutely an evangelism tool if we are using it and utilizing it in the way that I believe that God wants us to, in the way that it was created to do, right? But many people, you can look at their Facebook, their Instagram, their social media, and you can see what's important to them, right? You can see what kind of facade that they're wanting to put on based on what they post, based on what they say, based on the pictures they post, right? You can tell a lot about what's going on, and you can see an indication of what they're trying to portray on social media. You know, some people, maybe you post pictures of your Bible in your notebook, right? Right next to a coffee with your Devo open and your pen and pad ready, you know, and you say something like, great time with Jesus this morning. Man, I love my morning time with Jesus. Coffee and Jesus, that's all I need, right? And you put on this portrayal, you put on this veil that I'm this super spiritual person that all day long I'm just in the Word and I'm just praying, listening to, you know, Hillsong, or, you know, I'm just, you know, watching Pastor George's message on repeat 6 different times this week. And so you put on this veil, you put on this filter that you're this uber spiritual person. What veil are you wearing? Maybe for some of you, maybe it's working out, right? Maybe it's, you know, you post a picture of, you know, your blender, your shaker, whatever thing with your nasty green protein stuff in it. And you're like, oh, getting filled up so I can go get my sweat on, right? Or maybe you check in, right, at 24-Hour Fitness, or check in at Gold's Gym, or, you know, check in, you know, and say, you know, well, ran 3.8 miles today in 7 minutes, broke a new record, right? Because you want to put that facade on, you want to put that filter on, that veil on, that I'm this super health conscious workout nut. Whenever the truth of the matter is, like, you just downed a whole pizza last night, and now you're feeling so guilty and condemned that somebody might find out about it, that what do? You portray yourself in a different light. That, by the way, I notice sometimes people check in often at 24-Hour Fitness and workout places, but I never see them check in at church. It's weird. It's almost like, you know, they would rather people know that they're working out than going to church. I don't know. I don't know their heart. I certainly am not judging their heart, but the Bible does say to judge them by their fruit. And where you check in and what you post is the fruit. And I just have to get into a place where I have to assume that if there's apples on a tree, it must be an apple tree. And if there's oranges on a tree, then it must be an orange tree. And so I must assume if those things are more important to you and there's fruit of that in your life, that maybe that's what's really going on in your heart. So what veil are you wearing? Maybe some of you, it's, you know, you have to be Captain Comment. Every single post that a friend has on social media, you have to post, oh, girl, love those new shoes. You look so pretty. Oh, have you lost some weight? Girl, you look skinny. Or maybe it's, oh, man, you know, you look like, you know, man, that vacation sure does look fun. You know, oh, I'm going to be going on vacation soon. You know, hope you have fun. You know, save all the good weather for me. And we feel like we have to be Captain Comment. Why? Because we feel like people are going to like us more if we're constantly commenting on their stuff. If we're constantly liking their posts, maybe they'll like us back more. Because that's how the flesh works. It works in, you know, I do something for somebody else, so I expect that they're going to do something for me. But if you remember from our series last time, The Upside Down Kingdom, that as believers, that's not how it works. That's not how this life works. So I ask again, what veil are you wearing? Maybe some of you, maybe it's not social media. Maybe you don't do that whole thing. Maybe it's not Twitter. Maybe, you know, whatever. Maybe you're not even on it. Maybe you don't even have a cell phone. But maybe, you know, whenever you see somebody and they're like, hey, Aubrey, how's it going? Well, praise God. I'm doubly blessed in the name of Jesus. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not only. Oh, I'm telling you what, God has something coming for me, and I'm about getting ready to shift into a new season. And you're like, I was really just asking you, like, you know, how school's been going. I mean, and you can be so over the top with quoting scriptures and quoting the last three sermons that you've heard and, you know, re-preaching Brother Copeland's last message on the BVOV or, you know, re-preaching Pastor Terry's message from last week to somebody, whenever really they're just trying to connect with you and see how you're doing. But you see, you keep them at an arm's length and you keep that filter on of, well, all I think about is the Word and all I do is the Word and that's all I do. So, you know, unless you're going to talk the Word, stay back over there and I can't even tell you what's really going on in my life. Because really what's going on in my life is I'm depressed and I'm lonely and I'm hurting and my parents are getting a divorce. And so what happens? You end up lacking connection and true authentic friendships, true authentic relationships. And so it keeps you in that place. And what do? You just sew another leave on. You just put another veil on. You just put another filter on and hope that people see you and think that you're great and comment on your pictures and, you know, you get that little buzz for a second. But guys, I believe God is calling us to something higher. As believers, I believe He's calling us to connect in a different way, in a completely different way. Again, there's nothing wrong with social media. There's nothing wrong with digital technology. For goodness sake, I'm preaching from a Mac laptop. I have an Apple iPhone 7 in my pocket. There's nothing wrong with technology. It's about how we use it. It's about how we interact with other people. And if there's ever anything that comes between you and connecting authentically with God and you and connecting with people authentically, that thing has to get reexamined of how you're using it. You know, there's nothing wrong with food. But if every time that, you know, you're hoping that that guy asks you out on a date and he doesn't, and instead of turning to, you know, who God says you are, you begin to think, oh, I guess it's because I'm fat. I guess it's because I'm ugly. I guess it's because I'm dumb. I guess it's because I don't have pretty hair. And so what do? You end up eating at the altar of Ben and Jerry, and food can become a bad thing, right? Working out can become a bad thing. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 15. This is the next verse. So we read up to 14 a little bit earlier. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 15. It says, even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. A veil covers their hearts. And so I want you to write this down. I believe this is important. If you remember earlier, it started with Moses placing a veil over his face to create that filter, to create that facade, right? To change how people viewed him. A veil that first covers the face eventually covers the heart. A veil that first covers the face will eventually cover the heart. What started as a superficial covering turned into a spiritual condition. And if you begin to interact with people on a superficial level, always having to have a veil, always having to have a filter, always having to interact and not be authentic, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that if you continue to do that, you will actually back yourself into a corner, and that will now dictate how you have interaction and how you have relationship with God. And so now on days whenever you've got it right, man, you're going to go to church and you're going to pray, raise your hands and you're going to worship and you're going to shout down the preacher. You're going to say amen. You're going to show up to groups. You're going to show up to the outreach because, man, I'm doing great. But what about on days whenever you miss it? What about on days whenever you made a mistake with your girlfriend? What about on days whenever, you know, you got drunk? Or what about days whenever you're depressed? Or what about days whenever, you know, you had to do this or you did that or fill in the blank? What about those days? Then you say, well, man, I can't go to church. People might know. People might see me and, you know, man, they might see it, right? They might know what I did yesterday, right? Man, those Christians, man, they'll smell it on me. And so what do?
You avoid authentic connection. You avoid authentic relationship. You avoid connecting with people and having authentic biblical connection. And it stymies our growth. It stymies what the church, it holds us back. What does it do? It pushes pause. What else does it do? It pushes mute. And it mutes your voice, because how could I ever talk to that person at, you know, Walmart, that cashier at Walmart, about Jesus whenever last night, you know, I'd smoked this? You know, how could I, you know, go pray for that homeless guy on the side of the road that I know God's telling me to pray for him, but I don't even know how to do that, and I don't even feel like God would answer my prayers because of what I looked at on the internet last night. It's quiet in here because I believe it's hitting home. And you know, as a pastor, it's great whenever people are cheering. It's great whenever people are clapping. But you know what I care more about than whenever you clap? I care about whenever your life changes in the way that God wants it to change. And I care about whenever there is an impact in your life that you look back and say, man, 2 months ago, I don't even look like that same person. 6 months ago, I don't even recognize that person anymore. I look in those pictures and I don't even see the same light in my eyes that I see in pictures now. That's all I care about as your pastor, is that you would walk and run the race that God has set before you and be able to connect with him no matter what you've done, and connect with people no matter what you feel like they see in you. No matter if they see, you know, the person that is always working out and always bless God, praise Jesus, amen, or whether it's the person that's struggling in their walk with Jesus because they've got some questions and they're not quite sure, you know, what to believe on this thing in the Bible or that thing in the Bible, and you know, they just had something happen in their life, and you know, if I'm being honest, I'm kind of questioning this whole thing. Jesus never turned a single person away that was questioning, or that missed it, or that had an incorrect theology. He was not the theology police with people whose hearts were always towards him. We see time and again the disciples getting it wrong and asking him completely off the wall, lame brain, boneheaded questions. And what does he do? He always turns them back to him. He never pushes them away. He never shuns them. And so I want to encourage those of you in here tonight that maybe you interact with people on a daily basis. Create a safe place for people to come to and be authentic with you. Create a place where there's no judging. There's no looking down your nose at people, right? Those coworkers that know that you come to the Bridge, that know that you're a part of EMIC, that know that you're a part of church that believes in healing, but they don't feel like they can ask you about it because you're just going to like inundate them with, you know, like, well, the reason that you're having this is because, you know, you're drinking. You know, well, maybe if you'd stop, you know, staring at girls, you know, at work, maybe you wouldn't have marital problems. That doesn't do anybody any good. We don't see any precedent of Jesus doing that in the Bible. Amen? Amen. So this is how I want to begin to wrap up tonight. I think what happens is we can get so used to having a filter. And if you go through Instagram and just scroll through a feed, all of a sudden you can go, hold on a second, that picture's different. And the reason that you can point that picture out is because that one is the only one on the feed that isn't filtered. Do you know how they train bankers, how they train cashiers to point out and to find whenever a bill is counterfeit? What they do is they give them the real thing all day long. And they're just counting, they're touching, they're moving bills, they're counting bills, they're touching bills, until all of a sudden they put a counterfeit right in the mix. And so all of a sudden they go, hey, there's something different about this one, right? Because they're so used to and so accustomed to touching the real thing. Well, I think sometimes we can get so used to living our lives with that filter on, with that veil on of, you know, this is how we want people to see us. You know, this is the life that I want people to see when they look at Pastor Donnie. We get so used to that, that whenever there's something that real happens, we don't even recognize it. We're not even used to it. And so for you guys, I want to set the example. You know, it's easy to get up here and to preach, you know, be authentic. All right, Aaron, just be more authentic. You know, be your real self. Don't put on a facade. Don't put on whatever. But I believe the Bible says that as the head goes, so the rest of the body goes. And so I'm going to be vulnerable for a minute. Is that okay? You know, I've been a pastor for about twice as long as I've been a husband. I was a youth pastor for years. I was an associate pastor for years, long before I ever met Pastor Dara. And so I've been a pastor longer than I've been a husband. And I remember early on in our marriage, and still every now and then, she'll say, "Hey, Donnie, I love you, but can I have husband Donnie, not Pastor Donnie right now? Hey, can you be my husband right now instead of getting into pastor mode?" And so what do? I have to take that moment to go, "God, like, am I just feeling more secure in the fact that I've been a pastor longer and that I feel like maybe I know how to be a better pastor than I do a learning husband who's only been a husband for 4 years, right?" I venture to say that some of us, maybe it's the same way. Maybe we're so accustomed to a certain way of life that, you know, whenever things change, we don't know how to be that person that all of a sudden, you know, their family is being torn apart and their parents are getting divorced and they don't know how to handle it, you know? Or maybe it's, you know, all of a sudden you've been living life and you've been having a great Christian walk and, you know, you haven't failed in this area and, you know, you're pure in this area and all these other things, but all of a sudden you've made some decisions and you've had some failures in some areas and, you know, now you don't know what to do. You don't know how to be real. You don't know how to be vulnerable in those areas. So what am I saying to you tonight? Just like God doesn't want me to be a full-time pastor and a part-time husband, I believe that he's calling every single one of us to not just be full-time churchgoers and part-time believers in Jesus. I believe he's not just calling us to be full-time businessmen and part-time followers of Jesus. He's not just calling us to be, you know, full-time students, but part-time ambassadors for Christ, right? He's not calling us to go to work full-time and serve in the Bridge full-time, but, you know, be a part-time follower of what the Word actually says to do. It's time that we focus more on being a full-time follower of Jesus than just being a full-time churchgoer. That probably ruffles some feathers because you're like, "Well, Pastor Donnie, I go to church all the time. I'm here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and Friday mornings. And, you know, I even come on Tuesday nights and I serve in the Bridge and I serve. I change babies' diapers and I do all this kind of stuff. Like, man, I'm doing what Jesus said to do." That's great. That's awesome. But what's going on in your heart? How's your connection with him? How's your connection with other people? Are you able to be real? Do people know the real you? Are you able to remove that veil and let people see what's really going on so that you can connect with them? Because you impress people with your strengths, but you connect with them through your weakness. You impress people with your strengths. You connect with them through your weakness. Now, what am I saying? I'm not saying that we, you know, say, "Hey, man, you know, I'm really awful whenever it comes to losing my temper in public or losing my temper, you know, whenever I'm driving." And I'm not saying that we go around confessing those weaknesses. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is be real. You know, some of you, you know those kind of people that it seems like they have the perfect life, right? Seems like everything is going great in their life. Everything is going right in their life. Like, they're the epitome of, like, you know, Leave It to Beaver, you know, for those of you that remember that. Or like Pleasantville. Right? The movie where, like, you know, everything is hunky-dory and they, like, skip to work and, you know, all this kind of stuff and everything's perfect. But, man, like, there's something about that. Like, there's something about Pleasantville that just bugs me. Like, the thought of that movie where, you know, like, everything's, the grass is always perfectly green and perfectly whatever, and it just bugs me, right? And if I imagine some of you are maybe like that too, but, you know, whenever you see that person and everything's perfect and then all of a sudden you find out, oh, you know what? Like, wow, they have their days too. She came to church and her hair was a little, you know, whacked out too. Or, you know, he showed up and his outfit wasn't on point. Like, oh, whew, I guess he's a regular person too. And what does that do? It makes you feel better. It makes you connect with them, right? People connect in a different way than just always keeping that facade on, keeping that veil on. So I want to encourage you guys tonight. Number two was, what veil are you wearing? I want to encourage you, take the veil off. Remove the filter. Take all that pressure away. How amazing would it be to go through life and not feel pressure to live up to a standard that other people have set for you because you've set that standard by how you interact on social media, right? By how you carry yourself, right? By how you interact, by what you talk about, by what you portray, right? By what you put out there. And there's a term called delayed loneliness. I'm not going to go deep into this. There's a term called delayed loneliness. And they've studied people that are deep into social media, right, which would be the millennial age bracket, most of us in this room, most of us watching online, and it's called delayed loneliness. And what they found is this. Delayed loneliness says, I'm going to post something on social media, right? I'm going to do a selfie. I'm going to do some kind of post. I'm going to talk about something. And it's basically what I'm doing is I'm saying, hey, look at me. I'm saying, hey, look at me so I can get likes. I can get comments, right? Maybe I'm going to comment on somebody's and say, oh, man, girl, those shoes are cute. And then they look on your photo feed and you have a picture of your new shoes and you want them to say that your shoes are cute, right? It's delayed loneliness. And for a moment, we feel love. For a moment, we feel connected. There's a chemical release in our brains and we feel, we feel better about ourselves, right? Oh, man, we set a new record. We got 84 likes on that picture. Man, people must really like that, you know, photo that I took. Man, people must really like that, you know, Devo, you know, that I posted or whatever the case may be. But what is it? It's only for a moment. It's only for a moment. It's just like those leaves that Adam and Eve sewed together. How many of you know leaves wither, right? That covering that Adam and Eve made was not meant to last forever. It was not meant to cover them forever. It was not meant to keep them from seeing the things in each other, right? But what did God do? Do you remember? We're going to look at it in just a minute. Just keep that in mind. Number three, this is how we're going to wrap up. Number three tonight, only Christ can remove the veil. Only Christ can remove the veil. You know, it's really easy in a message like this to walk away and as you're sitting at home tonight or, you know, eating dinner or whatever, to go, oh, man, I really got to remove the veil in my life. Oh, man, Pastor Donnie was preaching and, you know, man, I got to remove that facade. I got to stop living my life with the filter on. No, no, no. It's never you that does the changing. It's always the Jesus inside of you. So 2 Corinthians 3:16, it's the very next verse. 2 Corinthians 3:16, it says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So any area in your life, all you have to do, turn to him. Instead of turning to you, instead of turning to society, instead of turning to Hollywood or whatever the case may be, or turning to other people to feel good about yourself, or turning to other people to hear who you are and what they think about you, turn to God. He'll take that veil away and he'll begin to tell you who you are. He'll begin to tell you what he likes about you. He'll begin to tell you what you were created for. He'll begin to tell you how awesome you are. He'll begin to tell you everything that you're looking for from other people, that all you can get from other people is momentary. But from God, all you have to do is hear one word, and it'll change your life. Genesis 3:7, it says, they sewed fig leaves together as a makeshift clothes for themselves. They sewed fig leaves as makeshift clothes. In case you don't know, makeshift means thrown together quickly, temporary, not of lasting quality, and watch this, must be replaced. Those fig leaves have to be replaced. They could not last forever because they were just thrown together. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you tonight, looking to other people for security, looking to other people for validation, looking to other people for who you are and how you feel good about yourself when other people feel good about you, it's not lasting. It must be replaced. It was never meant to sustain. It was never meant to last. But Jesus removes that veil. And I love what the Bible says. In Genesis 3, I believe it's like 9 or 8, it says, the Lord fashioned them clothing. The Lord fashioned them clothing. Many of you know that what happened in the Garden of Eden was just a precursor to what was going to happen with Jesus, right? The Bible says that God killed an animal and used the hides to cover them. Right? So it was the flesh, it was the blood that covered them, that changed them, that allowed them to connect with God in a new way, that allowed them to connect with others in a new way. It wasn't those leaves. Those things were made to wither. But how many of you know that leather lasts for a really long time? In the same way, the covering that God gave to us, Jesus, will last for an eternity. You know, I believe that as we turn to God, that he'll remove that veil and he'll remove the desire for us to get likes. And instead, from living from a place of needing likes and living from a place of always, you know, how do I get more likes? How do I feel better about myself by getting likes? Instead of living from that place, we live from a place of His love for us, not other people's likes on that person that isn't truly us anyways. That's just, you know, the Photoshop nose version of ourselves, right? It's the version of ourselves that, you know, is a little bit slimmer and a little bit skinnier and at just the right angle with my arm out and my leg out. And people like that version of me, but God loves the version of you that you are right now, with no filter, no facade. Before you clean yourself up, all you have to do is turn to Jesus. And I love what 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17 says. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all together, God is giving us the blueprint for freedom. We all together, in order for us to do this together, we have to connect. In order for us to do it together, we have to be authentic. We have to be real. We have to be willing to be the person that we are today. Always believing that God has something better for us and He's working things out in us and He's taking us to a new place, of course, but are you willing to be you today in this moment in order to connect authentically with other people and to connect with God? It says, we all who with unveiled faces, God is saying, remove the veil. My glory does not wane. Whenever you've accepted Jesus, the glory of Jesus, His Spirit comes up and takes residence inside of you, and He doesn't go on vacation. A couple times a year, we go on vacation, and you know everything in our house looks different. We turn down the AC, we turn off all the lights, we do all these kind of things, and it looks completely different whenever we're away on vacation. I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus does not take vacation. His glory does never wanes in your life. The only time it can ever lose its power or lose its effectiveness is whenever you close off authenticity and whenever you close off being real and open and honest with Him. He can't work with that. He can't work with fake. He can't work with things that are look good on the outside but on the inside. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? Man, you're a brood of vipers. You guys have it all wrong. Like you're so concerned about washing the outside of the cup, but on the inside, man, it's dirty and nasty. You should focus more on what's on the inside. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, God cares about the things that we do. He cares about us going to church. He cares about us serving. He cares about how people see us on Instagram and Facebook. He doesn't want people to look at us and think that, you know, we're just heathens or that we, you know, live the same as the world. Of course God wants us to look different, right? The Bible says be set apart, right? The Bible says live above reproach. All those things are godly principles. But what He's saying is this. Be you. Let me love you for who you truly are. It goes on to say, who with unveiled faces contemplate, which means focus on the Lord's glory. That's how you become free. That's how you become free from other people. That's how you become free from the opinion of people. That's how you become free of, well, I got a bunch of likes on this or I didn't. Who cares? Because God loves me. Who cares? Because I'm focused on the Lord's glory. I'm focused on Him. I'm focused on what He says about me. So it doesn't matter about what people think about me or say about me. It says we are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So you see, Moses had to keep the veil on because people might see that the glory was less than what it was before. In the same way, we try to keep the veil on. We try to keep the filter on so that people don't see that we're not as good as pretty as holy as spiritual as workout-minded, health-minded, school-minded. We keep that veil on so that people don't see that, you know, we're really not as good as it looks like in the photos. But what does the Bible say? It says that with unveiled faces, we can connect with God. And as we focus on Him and His glory, then that glory actually increases. And we don't ever have to ever put a veil on again. We don't have to ever hide ourselves again. We can be open. We can be real. We can be ourselves. We can be the Donnie with the personality that Donnie has been created to have. I don't have to try and be somebody just to make people like me. Amen? God wants to pour out his glory tonight. And I believe that he's wanting to remove some veils tonight. I believe he's wanting to remove that mindset that says, I have to show my life with the filter on or else people won't like me. I have to edit and Photoshop my life and how I live and how I act and what I put out there so that people will like me, so that people will think that I'm a good Christian, so people will think I'm a good church person. I believe God's wanting to remove that tonight. And guess what? As he does, as you allow him to, you take control back from the flesh and back from the enemy, and you place the control back in the hands of the Spirit, who all he wants to do is ever increase the glory in your life. Just keep turning your volume up, up, and up so that you have more impact, so you have more influence. He keeps changing the channel so that you go from glory to glory, so that you have new experiences in him, so that you meet new people and have new impacts on their life. And he even has a button called on demand, that at just the right time, the Holy Spirit speaks to you in an instant and says, lay hands on that person right now. And whenever you do, you don't have to wait. Boom, right there, the power is available. It's on demand. God wants you to give control to the Spirit tonight. So this is how I want to end tonight. I want everybody to stand up with me. I want everybody to stand up together tonight. I want to end tonight with giving us an opportunity to do exactly what 2 Corinthians 3 says. That whenever we turn to Jesus, that he removes that veil. Because if you remember the first verse that we read, it said that even today, there's still a veil covering their hearts. And I don't want anybody to walk away tonight with any kind of veil covering your heart. Because if you remember earlier, when the veil first starts on your face, it will eventually make its way to your heart. And as your pastor, I don't want it to see anybody walk away tonight. Anybody watching online tonight, my desire is that you would turn to Jesus and let him remove that veil from your life, from your heart, from your ideas, from your actions, from the way that you perceive other people are going to view you. So we're going to take communion tonight, because the Bible says that on the night that which he was betrayed, that talking to his disciples, Jesus said, hey, do this often in remembrance of me, that you would remember my body, that you remember how it was broken so that you could be whole, that you could remember that I was beaten and busted and beaten up and hit and, man, just all kinds of horrible, horrible torture that Jesus went through so that you don't have to be tortured, so that your mind could be whole, so that you wouldn't have to be depressed. Because Jesus went to hell. Jesus was depressed into hell so that you wouldn't have to be. And he also said to remember my blood that removes any stain, any guilt, any condemnation, anything from your past, any sin. That blood completely blots out and makes you clean. He said, do this often. And I believe that what happens whenever we do that is there's a cleansing that takes place. I believe that any veils that we've put over our eyes or our face or our hearts, I believe that in that moment, by turning to Jesus, by looking on him, I believe that he takes it away and he makes us like a kid again, not caring what people think, not caring what the world says that a girl should look like or should do or should wear, not caring what a guy should be or what a man looks like and how a man operates in this world, but looking at how does Jesus operate? What does he say about me as a woman of God? What does he say about me as a man of God? So ushers, if you would help us and pass out the communion elements. We're gonna have ushers passing around communion. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The last thing I want any of you to do is to walk away tonight saying Twitter's bad, Instagram's bad, Pastor Donnie thinks that social media is from the devil. Absolutely not. Let me clue you in on something. God has given us all things richly to enjoy. The devil did not create anything bad because he cannot create. Because if he could create, he would be on the same playing field as God, the creator. The devil cannot create. He can only distort and pervert. But we can redeem. Social media has been used as a tool of the enemy to divide and to conquer and to tear us apart. Hashtag this people group matters more. Hashtag that people group matters more. People have used social media to recruit terrorists, to infuse hate into people, to stir strife up. But we can redeem it. We can redeem it. If I can get some communion elements up here. Thank you, Bia. You know, I encourage you guys, take communion often at your house. If the only time that you're taking communion is in church, maybe you come to church every single day, but my Bible says to do this often in remembrance of me. And I'm not at church often enough, in a service often enough, doing communion often enough, in my opinion, to truly give the full credence to what his body and what his blood meant for us. So I want to encourage you guys, take communion at home. You don't have to have one of these little pre-packaged plastic cups and with the little wafer and a little bit of grape juice. You can do it with anything. I've even done air communion. I've done it with salt and vinegar chips and Sprite. Because you see, it's not about what's in the cup. It's not about what the wafer's made out of. It's about what it represents. It's about what it signifies. So Father, tonight, God, Father, we receive the fullness, God, of what your sacrifice meant for us, God. Father God, we thank you that your body was broken, God, so that we could be whole. God, we thank you that your body, God, was torn into pieces, God, so that we could have peace in our minds, peace in our thought processes, God. Father, I thank you that the full weight of sin, God, the full weight of redemption, God, was placed upon you, God, so that we could have a boldness, God, a lightness in our spirit. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that, God, you took stripes on your back as atonement, God, for our healing, God. And you said in Isaiah 53, God, that by your stripes we are healed. Not we might be healed, not someday in the sweet by and by when we get to heaven we would be healed, God, but we already are healed, God. And you paid for it on the cross 2,000 years ago. So, Father God, we thank you tonight, God, for healing in our emotions. God, healing in our bodies. God, any person, matter of fact, right now, if you need healing in your body, just raise your hand to the Lord. Just lift up your hand. And Father God, we thank you, God, that you see every hand, but more importantly, God, you see every heart. God, you see every need. God, you see every physical thing, God, that is in need of healing. So Father, right now, God, we appropriate your body, God, that was broken and beaten and bruised, God, so that we could be whole. God, so that we could have shalom peace, that nothing missing, nothing broken peace in our bodies, God. Father, I speak supernatural divine healing to every single person in this room and every single person watching online. Just because you're watching in front of a TV screen, a computer screen, or listening by podcast does not mean that the word has any less power to go to you. I remind you, the centurion said, I understand authority. And so if you just send the word, I know that it'll come to pass. So right now I'm sending the word to you. Watching from home, sitting on your couch, sitting on your computer, listening on your iPad, right now I send the word to you. And I say, body, be healed.
mind be healed, emotions be healed, thought processes be healed. Father, we take full advantage of your body tonight, God, and we remember it and we receive it in Jesus' name.